The word today is firstborn. Welcome to The Word Today with pastor and Bible teacher Douglas Schrader. In ancient times, being the first or eldest son conferred special status and blessings. Being firstborn meant you were to be a leader of the next generation. The Bible says that Jesus is the firstborn from the dead. Here to explain that surprising phrase is Bible teacher Douglas Schrader on The Word Today, Firstborn.
Recently, I was sharing with us about the fact that Jesus is called the firstborn over all creation, that he occupies a very distinct place in our hearts and minds as our God. And I was talking about Colossians chapter 1, where it says in verse 15 that he, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. And then a little bit down from there, it says that Jesus is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. And again, it talks in verse 19 about the deity of Jesus. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. As we talked last time, we had found that there were some people that believe amazing things. One of them had believed that aliens had to return in order to bring the world to world peace. Another thing that was believed was that mankind has to evolve to a higher form. And I shared with you that these things are quite beyond the chance of happening, that they are not likely to take place. And I asserted that it is far more responsible, as far as what we believe, to put our faith into Jesus. As we continue thinking about Jesus as the firstborn from among the dead, last time I talked about the fact that Jesus is supreme as the Creator, and as such, he is over all aspects of creation. Well, this time I'm going to share with us about verse 18, where it says that he is the head of his body, the church, and the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead. What this means is that Jesus was the first to rise from death, immortal and never to be touched again by death. Now, Jesus was not the first person in the Bible to be raised from the dead. In fact, there are several instances of this where prophets in the Old Testament, apostles in the New Testament, and Jesus himself raised people from the dead. But in every one of these instances, these people were not raised incorruptible and perfectly sinless. They were merely restored back to life. They still would again die and succumb to the aging process. The first person, the only person at this point who has been resurrected from the dead, never to be touched by death again, is Jesus Christ. And that's what's being talked about when it says that he would reconcile to himself all things and that he would be the firstborn from among the dead. In 1 Corinthians 15, a very similar phrase is used by the Apostle Paul when he talks about Jesus as being the first fruits from the dead. Notice this emphasis on the first. Jesus is unique. He's the one and only, the only individual to have conquered death permanently. And so that's something we're looking forward to, because Jesus has promised that all of those who put their hope and faith in him will have this same victory over death. As I was talking last time about what people believe in and some of the phenomenal, wild things that people believe, I mentioned that this individual had gotten his ideas from Star Trek. and the belief that when the aliens arrive, humanity will somehow all recognize that we are brothers, that we are one, and suddenly there will be a cessation of war and hatred, and universal peace will prevail. I feel that that's a little bit naive and that it is not likely to happen. I also think that we have already been invaded by the alien. Now, don't get me wrong. This is going to turn out different than you might think at this point. You might be saying, oh, no, he's going to talk about UFOs and aliens. The answer is no. I think we've already had an alien entity visit humanity. That alien entity was the person of Jesus. He came down in order to insert himself into our existence. And I'm going to share with you in just a moment on his purpose and plan for that. But before, I want to talk for a minute about another science fiction movie that I saw. Oh man, this must have been a couple of decades ago. It was the movie Alien. And I'll tell you something, I don't like science fiction movies with scary stuff. My mind just starts going crazy and I see things in darkness and all that. I hate it. So I really don't watch many horror movies, but I didn't know what all was happening with the movie Alien, and I went to see it. And that was one of the scariest movies, right from the beginning, where the astronauts get this thing attached to the face of his helmet. And then later on, he's inside this station and they're having some meal of some sort. And all of a sudden, he starts convulsing and they hold him down on the table and his chest starts heaving because there's something trying to break through him, push through. And finally, this creature erupts from his chest. It just breaks right through his chest. And there's this whitish, small creature with an elongated head that's sticking out of his chest and swiveling around, making noise. And then it takes off and scuttles off into some deep recesses of the space station. Well, even in its adolescent form, this thing could kill people. And they were terrified of it. And as it grew and got larger and more ferocious, it was completely unstoppable and horrific. Now, why do I bring up aliens? Well, it's not like I'm trying to make this a sci-fi presentation. But my point is that when Jesus Christ came to this earth, even in adolescent form, even when he was this baby in Bethlehem, he was utterly different than we are. We get this idea, some of us have this concept, that Jesus was just an enlightened man or a guru of some sort. Nothing could be further from the truth. Jesus is the divine entity coming down and assuming human flesh. He is an alien entity to a degree. And he presents himself to us not in some horror story, not to destroy and wreak havoc, but in a story of holy mercy. He came down in order to redeem humanity, to save humanity. This is the beauty of the gospel of Jesus. And the fact is that Jesus was so different because he was God and man at the same time. And that's what makes him kind of alien or foreign to us, because he is so perfect and so divine. And it's hard for us to relate to that because we're sinful and corrupted. And when someone is so perfect and so different, it's kind of scary. It's a little unnerving. And we sure hope that when he comes in judgment, he's not going to be harsh and unkind. We want him to be merciful to us. And that is the promise of the gospel, that when Jesus Christ returns, all those who have put their faith in him will receive his mercy and will receive the blessing of eternal life with him. Now I'm going to throw you a real curveball. This is something that you might not have been thinking about, but the fact of the matter is that if you take the gospel of Jesus Christ and look at it appropriately, it is not God who is the alien and the foreigner. It's you. You are alien to God in your sin. In fact, that's exactly what the scriptures said, is that when we were in our sin, we were alienated to God. We were corrupted. We were perverted in our nature. And as a result, this alienated us to God. We became enemies of His. And we became something different, a kind of a spiritual mutant, if you will. And as a result, God had to come back in order to save us and bring us back to our original state. You see, sin does that. It alienates people, and it corrupts them, and it perverts them, and it taints us and disrupts what we should be. God had created us to be in a perfect relationship with Him. He had created us to live forever. And what happens? Sin comes along, and it distorts us. And as a result now, people have anger at God. They have disappointment with God. Many individuals write off God altogether. And then individuals create new things to believe in. And they say, well, I'm not going to believe in God. I'm going to believe that the aliens will come and someday they will show their face and they will bring world peace. Or I'm going to believe that man just came from nothing and suddenly, magically, these chemicals got together and they created people. You know, sin really does distort and pervert us. And it makes us aliens to God. That is why Jesus Christ had to leave His natural state of divinity and assume an alien form and come down to this earth, take on human flesh, and walk among us in order to teach us God's love and His desire to take us back to the form He wants us, back to the way He created us. He wants us to know that His love for us is eternal. He wants us to know that He desires for us to be restored and not have sin tainting and corrupting our lives any longer. And this is something you can put your trust and confidence in. It's not science fiction. It's not a story. It's in the historical accounts of the Gospels in the Bible. And I encourage you to read it and to see that Jesus Christ is the divine Son of God who visited us. This other entity who came to earth in order to save us. It's a beautiful story and one that will bring encouragement to your heart. And I ask for you to put your hope and faith in Jesus Christ who has visited us to save us.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you, so visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's The Word Today. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.